So who's ready for the word? Come on. Could you just make sure, for me, if your mobile phone's turned off or turned down, let's keep distractions to a minimum. And because you got to remember, I'm looking out this way, and I see all sorts of distractions, and it can distract me for what I'm trying to do. And I've been praying strongly over this message, and I've actually had a bit of a run of preaching. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. But a few weeks ago, we spoke about the mighty weapons of God. And people told me how they were blessed through that message. And that's on the internet, and you can listen to that again. I really felt the Lord gave that to me. Last week, we spoke about whose report are you going to believe? Not have an ear for what the devil has to say, but a heart and ear that's open to what God has to say. Amen. We don't go by what our ears tell us, our eyes tell us. We go by faith in God's word. We want to believe a good report, not a bad report. Remember that message? Yeah. And so I got another word that I'm going to bring, and I'm going to read a scripture right now. Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34. And it says this. It says, have you got it on the screen? Is it there for you? Yes, it is. It says, all the people followed, crowding around Jesus. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. That's a powerful line, isn't it? Some people haven't heard about Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I might be healed. Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to take note of the words of the Bible. The Bible doesn't waste words. If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he just turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at the crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, who touched me? But he kept on looking. I love that. Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And Jesus said, get away from me. Jesus said, how dare you touch my nice clean robe? No. Jesus said to her, and this is so important, this statement. This is so powerful for us all today. Daughter, choose his words very carefully. She not only needed healing physically, but he did something in her spirit by the choice of words. He didn't say, woman. He said, daughter. We got something going on here. We got relationship going on here. Daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. And I'm going to come back to that scripture in a moment because that's a really important scripture for where I really want to go. But I'm just going to make a big statement and then I'll clarify it. And the big statement is this. It's impossible to become a Christian without praying. Just let that settle down for a moment. It's impossible to become a Christian without praying. If you're a Christian today, it's because you prayed to God. Think about it. You prayed. Sometime in your past, maybe it was last week, maybe it was 25 years ago, but sometime in your past, you prayed to God and you asked him to forgive you of your sins. You prayed. You prayed. You told God that you repented of your sins. You don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be like that. Almighty God, that's not the kind of person I want to be. I repent. And then you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You prayed. You prayed. You believed. You prayed and you believed. Only the person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So prayer to God led you to salvation. Everybody good? If you close your eyes while I'm preaching, I might think you're asleep. So try and keep them open. That would be really encouraging. Some of you have already started closing your eyes. It must have been a late night last night. That's all I can say. You want to hear what God's got to say today. You don't want to miss out on this. And so today, I wish I had a mirror. I wish I had a mirror behind me so you could see what you look like. Today, what I'm trying to do is I'm reminding us all that regular prayer to God is absolutely essential in order for us to stay anchored in our devotion to Jesus Christ. You pray to become a Christian, you need to keep on praying. We all know, don't we, that when you swim at the beach, that currents in the water can cause you to drift away from where you should be. We all know that, right? Unless if you don't swim. If you've ever been at the beach, you know what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes, and maybe this has happened to you, I've drifted so far down the beach that I've had to actually swim back into shore and then walk all the way back to where I first started. Anybody have that happen to them? It's just too far to swim back. When I was a child and learning to swim, I was swimming in the Swan River with some friends, but I remember even in the river, a current getting hold of me. It was a gentle current, but it was irresistible, and it started to push me away from the shore into deeper water, and I hadn't learned how to tread water. I was just a basic swimmer, and so I started to panic as the current was taking me somewhere where I didn't want to go. But thank God for my mother, who was watching me all the time, and she saw I was struggling. I remember my mum just leaping into the water and my mother rescuing me. Life is full of gentle, subtle, spiritual currents that try to gradually push you to places far from where you should be. And many of those places are spiritually dangerous. Indeed, the book of Hebrews warns us against drifting away from the truth. He says that we need to pay heed to the truth, lest we drift away. And without prayer being a vital part of your life, you risk drifting away from the truth and shipwrecking your faith. In the book of Revelation, we read how Jesus gave messages for seven churches in what is modern Turkey today. That's where they were located. And one of these churches was in a place called Laodicea. And Laodicea was a very wealthy city situated at the crossroads of two major trading routes. And this is part of the message that was sent to the Laodicean church. Jesus said to them, "You say about yourselves, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. I don't need a thing." When you believe you don't need a thing, it is a sure sign that you have drifted. When you think that you've arrived at a place in life where you've got it all together, that is a sure sign that you have drifted. See, the Laodiceans' prosperity and success have made them forget that God was their source and their provision. You know, one of the reasons, one of the important things about giving of our tithes to the Lord, although it is a small moment in our service, it is a reminder that God's my source and my sufficiency, not my employer, not Centrelink, not Scott Morrison, not this inheritance. God's my source and my supplier. And we remind ourselves through that physical action each week. And these Laodiceans have forgotten that God was their source and provision. They've forgotten that there is never a day in your life where you are so self-sufficient that you don't need God anymore. We need God every moment of every day.
And so these Laodiceans are forgotten and they drifted to a dangerous place. And the Lord continued to say this to them in response to them saying they didn't need a thing. The Lord said to them, you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments, and these things stand for things like white garments. He's talking about that stands for righteousness. Come and get white garments from me so you will not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. And then the Lord continues, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your drifting, turn from your indifference. Then he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. And history tells us that those people, the Laodiceans, actually responded to that message. They wisely listened to the message and they opened the door of their hearts to Jesus Christ. And for the Bible students here, just to let you know this, that they responded so much to Jesus that out of all of the ancient churches, Laodicea was the church that lasted the longest. They kept on following the Lord. They responded to that rebuke. Isn't that wonderful? But drifting takes you to places far from God. But you can stop drifting when you re-anchor yourself to Jesus Christ. But regular prayer, where you make space in your day to talk to God, is needed to stay anchored to Jesus Christ. And that is because this thing we've got going with Jesus Christ is all about relationship. Amen? And so we read a few moments ago in Mark chapter 5, didn't we? About a time when Jesus Christ was surrounded by a very large crowd. But a woman in that crowd had a serious health issue. And she had suffered a great deal for 12 long years. And no one was able to help her. Maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you've got a health issue and the doctors haven't been able to help you. But she said to herself, if I could just touch the robe of Jesus, I will be healed. And so with great effort on her part, she pushed through the crowd and touched the edge of the Savior's robe. And as soon as she touched his robe, she was instantly healed. She could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, we've read this already, look at the crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But we read how Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman nervously came and knelt before him, before Jesus, and told what had happened. And everyone heard her report. And Jesus looked to her and he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is ended. And this real life story, and this really happened, by the way, this real life story is a picture of what prayer is all about. In this story, a nameless lady refused to drift along with the crowd. Instead, she pushed against the crowd. She pushed through the crowd until she touched Jesus. That is what prayer is. Prayer is where you push through the crowd until you touch Jesus. Prayer is where you push through the crowd and you're not satisfied until you touch Jesus. Now we all want to touch the Savior. We all want to connect with Jesus Christ. But like this woman, we all have a crowd to push through. You have a crowd to push through. So do I. Don't let the crowd get in the way. Don't let your crowd get in the way between you and your Savior, Jesus Christ. In this story, the crowd represents distractions. And we are surely the most distracted generation in all of history. Absolutely. Here's a little test to see how distracted we all are. How many people here take their smartphone to the toilet with them? You don't have to put your hand up. It's okay. Sorry, darling. Yeah, I got you, didn't I? Sorry. You don't have to put your hand up. You know, we can't even sit on the loo for 5 minutes and do what you got to do without looking at the phone. The almighty screen, it's not just your mobile phone. We've got screens everywhere. You've got your computer, you've got your tablet, you've got your TV screen. The almighty screen, here's a thought just coming to my mind. The almighty screen becomes a screen between us and God sometimes. The almighty screen has taken distraction to a whole new dangerous level, so much so that things that are genuinely important, like watching where you walk on the road, your family's important. Things that are genuinely important end up having to make way for the trivial and addictive distractions that ensnare us. It's been times. I'm just wondering, should I say that? There's been I love you all really, really a lot, but there's been times when somebody's in church, you know, before the service or after the service, let's just let it go, let's go. It's just been times when I've seen people on their phones and they're really engaged and I think, oh man, they must have something really important happening there, you know, texting a family member or whatever, and as I walk by, they're playing solitaire or something, you know. Didn't want to talk to me, wanted to play solitaire instead. Our past can be a distraction. Ambition can be a distraction. There are all sorts of distractions that you've got to just push through when you want to touch Jesus. What's more important to you, touching Jesus or the distraction, you know? The crowd also represents, distractions, but the crowd also represents the overwhelming options of life. We got so many options. So many options. And the options of life are forcing you to a place of constant decision making. From what brand of food you will buy, to what you will watch on TV, or what are you going to do with your time? It's no wonder we're all getting exhausted and stressed out. Too many decisions. Amen. This may come as a shock, but life used to be simpler. Oh, yeah. It really did. Sundays used to be simpler. Church, Rochelle, used to be a lot easier to run a long time ago. Now it's really complex. I remember a time when, and I'm 60 now, so I can say this. Thank you, Tanya. I remember a time when there was hardly any sport on a Sunday. And most shops were closed. Remember that? Petrol stations. Remember this, when petrol stations were put on a roster system? You have to find out which station's open. Yeah. Remember when you used to have to fill up the car yourself? Yeah, yeah. How dare they have done that to us? Oh, no, they used to fill up our car. Yeah, sorry, Michelle. Yeah. Somebody just said, I still fill my car up myself. Yeah. No, they used to come out and fill your car up with petrol. And my family, before I got married, parents and all that, my family used to go to church nearly all day on Sunday, starting with Sunday school early in the morning, followed by the morning service. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, that used to run over lunch and everybody's tummies used to rumble around about midday. Later, we would do street evangelism, remember that? And then we would finish the day with a gospel service at night. And our service would go for at least 2 hours, at least. Sometimes, you know, it wasn't uncommon for a sermon to go for an hour. Wow. Yeah. And everything was at a steady pace. And you know what? It was actually pretty good. It was great. And because there was no other place to go anyway. There was nowhere else, and there's only two channels on TV. Options were limited. life was simple, how things have changed. Now we have way too many options on Sundays. Everything is open now. Everything is beckoning for your attention. Many people are having to work today because there's no Sabbath rest. Parents run themselves ragged, taking the kids to all sorts of places and activities. And people are getting stressed out. People are getting really exhausted. And worst of all, God ends up in last place because we've got all these other options. And with all the options of life, we just got to choose our activities wisely, because we don't want to waste our time on things that prevent us from touching Jesus. The crowd represents the distractions of life, and the crowd represents the options of life, and the crowd also represents the world's prevailing attitudes. And in an ever-increasing secular society, we have to handle living under the world's shadow of faithlessness in Jesus Christ. The things of God that are precious to us are despised, and they're being ridiculed by the world. We are the outcasts of society. We are. And if you're going to touch Jesus, you have to decide that you're not going to let the attitudes of the world pollute your desire to know Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You got to push through the attitudes that others try to impose upon you. The crowd is a current that tries to make you drift with it to places where you should not go. But prayer is going against the flow of the crowd. Prayer is pushing through the crowd, and prayer is touching Jesus. The woman in our story said, "If I can touch his robe, I will be healed." And she did. She touched the edge of the robe, the hem of his garment, of Jesus, and his power flowed into her and healed her. And who knows that God's power still flows into people today in Jesus' name. Absolutely. But it raises an important question. How do we touch Jesus when Jesus is not physically here anymore? It's a very good question. How do you touch Jesus? How do we touch Jesus when Jesus is not physically here anymore? Well, touching Jesus physically is not what is important. Remember that Jesus was in the middle of a large, huge crowd when the woman touched his robe. And she was not the only one to touch him. People in the crowd were bumping into Jesus. They're bumping into Jesus all the time. People are touching Jesus all the time. Some may have been even tapping on the shoulder saying, Mr. Jesus, could I just have your attention just for a minute? I just need to talk to you. Mr. Jesus, what did you mean when you preached that sermon? Mr. Jesus, tap, bump, 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 bump. People were touching Jesus all the time. Indeed, when Jesus asked who had touched him, the disciples were amazed at his question and said, "Look, the crowd's pressing against you. How can you ask who touched me?" But Jesus was not talking about physical touch. He was talking about another kind of touch. Jesus did not say to the woman, "Well done for touching my robe with your fingers." Instead, Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Amen. Jesus was talking about the touch of faith that happened when she reached out with her hand. It was her faith that got her the miracle, not the physical touch of his robe. And just think about it too, everybody. There are a lot of people in that crowd for sure. However, that dear woman was the only one who reached out and touched Jesus with her faith. And then healing flowed into her body. There's got to, out of a huge crowd like that, there would have been other people in that crowd who needed a miracle of some sort. That's the nature of life, okay? There would have been many others who were suffering. They needed a breakthrough. I'm sure that many of them were hoping for a breakthrough. They were hoping that their my moment is getting closer. I'm hoping for a breakthrough. Maybe today I'm getting closer. I'm hoping for a breakthrough. But nothing happened to any of the other people in that crowd, even though they were bumping into Jesus Christ. Because they didn't touch Jesus in the way this woman touched Jesus. Like the other people, this woman also began her day hoping for a breakthrough in her life. And then she saw Jesus. She heard things about Jesus. And something stirred within her heart. And she realized that Jesus was the living breakthrough. The penny dropped in her spirit. Lord, let the penny drop right now. With us all. The penny dropped in her spirit, and she understood that breakthrough in the person of Jesus Christ was standing in the middle of the crowd. So she pushed through the crowd, and she touched her breakthrough. Others were waiting for a breakthrough to come and touch them. That's not how it works. She said, if I go and I touch the breakthrough, I will be healed. And her faith drew the power of God, and it drew breakthrough into her body. She didn't say, I hope today I will be healed. She did not say, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, wish me luck, everybody. She didn't say that. She didn't say, I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've scored enough brownie points with God today. She never said those things because hope never gets you healed. Hope's always about what's going to happen tomorrow. Fingers crossed never gets you healed, and being good enough never gets you healed. But faith in her heart cried out, faith in her heart cried out to her, go and get it, healing is yours. And she did go and get it, and she never suffered with that sickness again. Now, I know some of the things I'm saying right now are a little bit hard to understand. I understand that. I do understand that. But I'm persisting with this because faith comes by hearing God's word. I'm doing this for myself too, by the way. I'm preaching to myself right now in Jesus' name. We're persisting with this. Remarkably, this woman, she had no appointment with Jesus. And many of you come to see me, you haven't got an appointment either, and it would be helpful if you made one. But anyway, scoot that out there. This woman had no appointment to see Jesus. She even interrupted Jesus while he was on his way to help someone else. But Jesus still stopped for her. Why did he stop for her? Because heaven always stops for someone who dares to believe and receive. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Just only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Just only believe. And Jesus, through his word, calls out to you today, calls out to me today. Jesus calls out to you. Come and get it. Come and get it. He says, there is a table spread before you in the presence of your enemies. Come and get it. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come and get it. Come and get some peace.
Come and get the presence of God. Come and get some joy. Come and get some healing. Come and get some breakthrough. Come and get some strength. Come and go deeper with the Lord. Come and worship. Come and get it. So our nameless woman pushed through the crowd. What an inspiration she is. That's why I chose that story today. What an incredible woman. Can't wait to meet her in heaven. And tell her we preached about you at Real Life Church. And what is your name again? Our nameless woman pushed through the crowd until she found and touched Jesus. And today, God is always looking for people who will push through the crowd. He's always looking for people who refuse to drift with the crowd. So many Christians are drifting with the crowd. God is looking for those who will persist until they touch Jesus. That's prayer. Push through the crowd and touch Jesus. Nearly finished. Touch Jesus for the sake of your family. Touch Jesus so you can go and shine for Him among your friends. Touch Jesus so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Touch Jesus so you can be strong and whole. And touch Jesus so you can remain anchored. That's the most important thing, to be anchored. Anchored to Him. Therefore, in conclusion, everybody, no matter how you feel and no matter the season of life, always give yourselves to prayer in Jesus' name.